Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thanks for joining us today. It is September 5th, 2017, 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast in Eugene. It is very surreal to be living in Oregon right now. All up and down the coast, we're under a bad air advisory watch, so we have to keep our windows closed. But the weirdest part is it smells like we're living in a chimney. There is so much smoke and so much fire here. You can't really open your windows or you start to choke. I had my windows open a little while this morning and I began to like cough like a million bucks. So anyways, it's I guess this is what happens when the system really does fall apart. I guess we're living through it. We do not have a guest today. I had planned on having the pre-recorded interview from Patty Amino. I finally got it edited. Thank you, Patty. And then Joel's needed me to put the intro and the, you know, my bumper music on it because she was out of town. So I'm live, and we're going to have the pre-recorded interview in tomorrow. It's a really pretty exciting interview with Patty Amino, giving her, you know, she was really, the hardest part with Patty is that she gave up her life for our government, literally, spent her career as a government servant, came out and discovered that we're really seriously super screwed, like, from our government. They're, like, stabbing us in the back every chance they get. This has been a hard shakeup these last 10 years, 10 or 15 years for, I think, most Americans who, you know, the millennials, this has been their whole experience from the time Bush came on, started, you know, mission accomplished, came in and brought in the Third Reich or the Fourth Reich, I guess. That's how I view it. When they stole the election in 2000, that was the end of the United States as we thought we knew it. I guess Eisenhower sort of rolled that new event in. But it's been a real, what I call a come to Jesus moment. Anyways, no guest today. I'm going to be covering some stories and sharing some information. If anybody wants to give us a call, the number is 718-717-8106. If you are on Skype, my Skype name is Lonnie.Clark7, and I can get you in. But I wanted to start the day, which there was something that I haven't done in a little while, and that is a poem by Lao Tzu, who they say lived a very long time ago. They say, according to tradition, he was born 62 years old in 604 BC. So how did he get born 62 years old? I don't know. But the poetry sure has stood the test of time. This is his very first poem. In this book, it's translated by Witter Byner, B-Y-N-N-E-R, called The Way of Life. existence is beyond the power of words to define. Terms may be used, but none of them are absolute. In the beginning of heaven and earth, there were no words. Words came out of the womb of matter. And whether a man dispassionately sees the core of life or passionately sees the surface, the core and the surface are essentially the same, words making them seem different only to express appearance. If name be needed, wonder names them both. From wonder into wonder, existence opens. And I think that's where we are now. We're like in this place where we must reclaim our wonder and reclaim our expression of care for our planet and for our life, and to really find a way to get ourselves back into being engaged in life to the point where we don't just digest information that's literally killing us and passively accept it and let it go along. I don't know about you, but you know what? One of my activities is going to be all week long contacting my elected officials here in Oregon and really all of the members of Congress that I can get my little fingers to dial up, as many as I can, and tell them to vote no on H.R. 3053. Because if we allow that to go through, we will see dirty bombs around the planet. That's just the way it's going to be. Maybe that's the plan. They seem to want war super bad. They just sold a whole bunch of weapons to Japan and South Korea so they can, quote, protect themselves, as if they don't have enough weaponry already to protect themselves from somebody who is completely paranoid. You know, the government of North Korea wants to make a unified Korea. So they keep, you know, this whole thing, as I've said before, I actually think that it is part of a CIA program. So I don't buy the official story about North Korea at all, at all. I thought what I'd do is talk to you about what's going on in Fukushima. This is really sad. In Fukushima, they are attempting to make it seem like it's getting better over there. This was a Newsweek article, 8-3, by Sophia Lotto Persio, P-E-R-S-I-O. The title of it said, Fukushima summertime images show nature asserts itself after a nuclear disaster. Gee, and then they have this big video that's a drone going up and down the coast. Nature is having its say in the abandoned surroundings of Japan's failed Fukushima nuclear plant, reclaiming the area in a spectacular display of its power. Failed nuclear plant. It is not a failed nuclear plant, ma'am. It is an ongoing nuclear meltdown that is still polluting the planet. 7 summers have passed since a tsunami created a powerful earthquake, crashed into the Japanese coast on March 11th, damaging the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant and causing a nuclear meltdown, hydrogen air explosions, and a leak of radioactive material. You see how they twist these little stories so that it sounds like it's just not so bad? A leak. Fukushima and its environs faced a nuclear catastrophe, prompting then Prime Minister Naoto Kan to order the immediate evacuation of those who lived within 12 miles of the plant, later expanding the order to those living within 18 miles of Daiichi. Almost 100,000 people still cannot return home. Access to what became known as the Fukushima Exclusion Zone is still strictly regulated, but one photographer working for the Japanese Asahi Shimbun newspaper visited the areas designated as, quote, difficult to return, unquote, zones. Difficult to return zones. Wow. In July, shooting pictures with a drone and a helicopter, The stunning work was published this week, and then there's a link. Tetsuro Takahana, who lived in Fukushima for a decade as a child, returned to a place where both time had stood still and moved on. "It's as if time had stopped," he said, describing the scenes, "and yet the grass and trees continue to grow." Well, not entirely, right? They don't decay. The parking lot of the Okuma Outlet of Plant Number 4, a large shopping mall that used to be packed with visitors, is slowly being taken over by weeds creeping through the cracks in asphalt surface. At the playground of an elementary school, only football goalposts can still be spotted among the grass, reaching to the height of an adult's waist. Elsewhere in the Fukushima prefecture, in Futaba, one abandoned car is seemingly sinking into a field of thick, bright green grass. Also in Futaba, rampant weeds have reached the second floor of deserted houses. Not even the buildings owned by Tokyo Electric Power Company, which is TEPCO, the Daiichi nuclear plant operator, used to house company employees, were left untouched, with weeds growing through to the second floor and engulfing the cars still parked nearby. In the day after humans disappear, nature takes over and immediately begins cleaning house, our houses, wrote Alan Weisman in the 2007 best-selling book, The World Without Us, which imagines a world in which humans no longer exist, adding, quote, "Change is the hallmark of nature. Nothing remains the same," unquote. Not even nuclear wastelands. So this was an interesting little story because it really downplays the seriousness of the catastrophe. And the intimation in this story that it is the natural process that humans are going to disappear, it was really kind of stunning. Ending this article with that added little bit about a book where their humans no longer exist. It's, to me, this is just the normalization of the destruction of our planet and humankind. Okay, so let's see what else is on our minds this morning. You guys want to listen to the nuclear alerts? I sort of scanned them all. Let's see. September 5th, 2017. Louisiana lost source from a density gauge, another one of these. They keep losing this stuff. Missing portable nuclear gauge, another one. They still don't, both those two have not been found. Kansas Department of Environmental Health, University of Kansas, contamination resulting from uranium-90 setup. This considered a non-emergency because just the people who got exposed, I guess. It's an emergency for them. Oops. Non-emergency in Illinois Emergency Management Agency. Licensee is unknown. That's the thing that cracked me up. Unknown licensee. Really? It's a damaged source. Let's see. What does this say? The corporate RSO, radiation safety officer, or for common carrier, contacted the agency, which is the Illinois Emergency Management Agency, at approximately 1300 on August 25th to notify that last night, a Type A package containing 140 becquerels, grams of becquerels, gigabecquerels, I guess that is, of high dose rate brachytherapy iridium-192 seeds have suffered physical damage at a common carrier facility in South Holland, Illinois. The package was en route from Community Hospital in Minster, Illinois, to an out-of-state site for Alpha Omega and shifted during transit. The impact resulted in a cracked rim of the Type A container. However, no loss of contents, contamination, or exposure to personnel. So don't worry about it. No one's affected. Nobody got affected. Radiation. The container broke open, but miraculously, no contamination. Oh my gosh, we're just keep getting so lucky. You know, that's the interesting thing is we always hear about these near misses and we just barely did it. I think it's that they're just not telling us. And they have no interest in telling people that we have contaminants. So what else happened? In Louisiana, another place in Louisiana, stuck source. So it's another messed up gauge that they had. Henry Ford Hospital in Michigan. So what'd they say? Receipt of a contaminated package. Oh, listen to this. Comanche Peak in Texas. That's right where the hurricane went. And we wondered what would happen with them. Actuation. So what's the non-emergency? RPS actuation critical. Valid specification. System actuation. This happened on event date 9-1. Notification date 9-2. Manual reactor trip due to two dropped rods. At time 21:40 on September 1st, 2017, Comanche Nuclear Power Plant Unit 2 experienced two dropped rods, one control, one shutdown. The reactor was then manually tripped. This event is being reported in blah, blah, blah for an actuation of auxiliary feed water. Currently, Unit 2 is being maintained by hot standby in Mode 3 in accordance with the Integrated Plant Operation Procedure. Emergency Response Guide Procedure Network has been exited. Decay heat is being rejected to the main condenser via steam dump valves. Wow. All rods inserted into the core during the trip. No relief or safety valves actuated during the plant transient. The electrical grid is stable and supplying plant loads. Unit 1 was not affected by the transient. So does anybody really understand that stuff? If you do, please give me a call. 718-717-8106. Hold on one second. So this is really a trip, like the whole, we have like this whole culture of we're just not going to tell you. And that seems to be their complete MO. That is just completely a shock. I went to this, the website for the STP plant that did get hit and did get, it's called the South Texas Project Electric Generating Station. It's one of the newest and largest nuclear power facilities in the nation. STP's two units produce 2,700 megawatts of carbon-free electricity, providing clean energy to 2 million Texas homes. So I'm going to click here for the latest storm information to see what they're telling us about the storm information. And I think that the thing is kind of a dead link. I went to their webpage to try to get information about what happened because I couldn't find it anywhere. I know I'd heard Nancy Faust on Nuclear Hot Seat talk about that it did get, just from they've been able to see, that it did get flooded. So we know something happened. And we're hoping that, according to this, they were able to manage it. But this website is completely dead. There's no getting any information anywhere. It says, click here for information. And all it does is show us basically the route of it. And it gives us their absolutely nothing information. The two-unit facility is still reinforced concrete containment with 4-foot thick walls. The building that houses STP reactors, vital equipment, and used fuel have steel-reinforced concrete walls 4 to 7 feet thick, which are built to withstand major hurricanes and tornadoes they can spawn. And tornadoes they can spawn. That's a weird thing to put in there. The plant site is located 10 miles inland and at an elevation of 29 feet above main sea level, well beyond the reach of even a Category 5 storm surge. The facility is watertight buildings and doors such that emergency electric power and cooling systems remain fully functional. All building, housing, safety equipment are floodproof to an evacuation of at least 41 feet above MSL. So that, I guess they could take that because it has to be more than 41 feet, and after that, it's not safe. That makes me feel confident. How about you guys? Gee, I'm glad that they put this up. I feel so much more confident about nuclear power this morning. Gosh. They even have updates on their Facebook page. Maybe I should click on that and just to see what happens. Took over my whole browser. That's weird. Let's go back and take a look at it. Let's see, Mr. For goodness sakes. Our Facebook page. We'll go back to that. Click here for updates on our Facebook page. Do you think that they would announce to us on our Facebook page that we're super screwed? I don't think so. I don't think they'd tell us at all. In fact, we know they're not going to tell us anything at all. So Comanche, when I went to the Comanche Nuclear Power Plant, even though we read this thing that happened on September 2, there is no... These power plants, I thought the Columbia Generating Station in Hanford were pretty devious, but that seems to be the MO across the board with all of these power facilities. They are certainly not going to make it easy for us to figure it out. So it's completely outrageous. Let's put in a little search for Hanford and see what happens with Hanford. Because I think, you know, as the dates go on here, this is the hard part. All up and down the West Coast, it is very bizarre. We have chimney smoke skies, like all up and down. It looks like fog, but it's not. It's smoke. So I wonder how that's going to be affecting this plant. Well, that went a big fat nowhere. So let's do this again. Let's keep looking at the emergency alerts. So that was September 5th. And let's look at the next ones. This is the thing about the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. They'll tell us. I mean, nobody actually even reads it. I mean, as Donna Gilmore found out, you have to be able to understand what they're saying. They use acronyms so often. They abbreviate everything and refer to this complicated manual all the time, so you don't really understand what they're talking about. So here in Maryland, this was reported on September 1st, Maryland Department of the Environment, Chesapeake Urology, non-emergency. Medical Event Administration, oh dear. An incorrect dose was selected and injected without cross-referencing the identity of the patient. The event was discovered at approximately 11:30 hours when the second Xofigo dose was to be administered. Wow. Uh-oh. A male patient was injected with 176.1 microcuries of radium-223, which is Xofigo, instead of 108.4 microcuries of radium-223. 62.5% greater than the dose prescribed. Oops. Sorry, guy. Wow. Each dose had the proper patient name on the lead pig and each respective syringe. I guess they call something a pig. That was weird. So someone got 62%. But it does not necessarily, this is the last sentence on this report, it does not necessarily result in harm to the patient. Not necessarily, but pretty much likely, folks. Oh, man, how anybody could go into a hospital and take any type of radiation is beyond me. I don't think I would. Lake Charles, Louisiana, which did get hit by the storm. What does this say? Non-emergency. This was reported on 824. Reported on 824. The event happened on 823. Oh, lost source from a density gauge. There they go again, losing things. The source is no longer in the device holder housing. They surveyed for it and have not yet located it, and they are continuing to search for it. That is really amazing. So this is basically, they just can't find the source. They lost a cesium-137 source from a density gauge. Gee. And they want to privatize the nuclear waste. They can't even keep track of the stuff that they are, little minor details, just from density gauges. They lose the radioactivity all the time. I wonder who's making all kinds of money. I'll bet you if you really dig into it, that's probably some really seriously dirty money. North Carolina Division of Radiation Protection, ECS Southeast LLP. This is considered a non-emergency. What's this? Missing portable nuclear gauge. Once again. So did they find it? We'll scroll through it. Through interviews of the personnel on site, it was determined that the source rod was never extended from when the gauge went missing to when it was found. So it was found. An on-site construction worker found the gauge unattended yesterday afternoon and secured it until this morning. Oh, man, those nuclear workers, they actually do put themselves in major risk. They actually really believe that they're going to be taken care of. That's the very, very sad part. Let's go into documents for comment and see what they're about to do without any of us really paying attention to it. So, rulemaking related documents, unified agenda of federal regulatory and deregulatory actions, naturally occurring accelerator produced radioactive materials, let's see, license applications and amendments, applications and amendments to facility operating licenses and combined licenses involving proposed number of significant hazard considerations and containing sensitive, unclassified, non-safeguard information and safeguard information and order imposing procedures for access to sensitive, unclassified, non-safeguard information and safeguard information. Closing date on that is 9/7. Applications and amendments to facility operating licenses and combined licenses involving no significant hazard consideration. That's till 9/14. James A. Fitzpatrick Nuclear Power Plant consideration of approval of transfer of license and conforming amendment. That's open till 9/18. Application and amendments to facility operating licenses and combined licenses involving no significant hazard consideration. Southern Nuclear Company, Inc., Joseph M. Farley Nuclear Power Plants 1 and 2, license amendment request. Those are open until 9/28. I'm going to just read the general ones that are up here, and then we'll go back and open one or two of these things up since we have a bit of time. So if anybody wants to call in, the number is 718-717-8106. The phone line is open. I'm pretty sure I could link you in. So let me give you the number again. It's 718-717-8106. And I'd like to thank our listeners for sharing our station and our radio show with your friends and family, and remind them that in order to listen to us, this has been one of the most difficult things that people can't get in their heads. You can't just go and turn on the radio and listen to UCY.TV, although you can in Eugene, Oregon, because we have an FM station here that plays Libby Halevy's show, Nuclear Hot Seat. I believe they play it on Mondays at 6 p.m., and then on Thursdays they have my show at 6 p.m. They play one of our shows. I send them three shows a week and they play one of them. I guess they just pick one. So it does matter that you tell your friends how to find us, that we're on the internet. You go to www.ucy.tv/AOF and that will be live. Our podcasts are at the bottom of the page, or you can find us on YouTube. And you can also find us on TuneIn Radio, the whole station on TuneIn Radio, UCY.TV. And finally, a plug and a request for contributions. Anybody, even $25 makes a difference. If we got 100 people giving us $25, that would go a long way to building a better system here going on. So let's get back to these nuclear alerts. Generic communications. Identifying and reporting human performance incidences. So maybe that's when those documents close on 9/21. Draft regulatory guides for public comment. So this is comment closes on 9/18, applications for nuclear power plants. Evaluating deviations and reporting defects and noncompliance under 10 CFR Part 21. That closes 10.3. Nuclear criticality safety standards for nuclear materials outside reactor cores. That closes 10.23. My goodness, they have quite a few of them ready to go up. Draft new reg series publications. This period of comment closes on 12/31. Knowledge and ability catalog for nuclear power plant operators, advanced boiling water reactors. They have quite a bit on their agenda. Information collections. So let's see, they have one that closes on 9/5. That's today. Information collection, NRC Form 536, operator licensing examination data. Information collection, enforcement discretion for operating power reactors and gaseous diffusion plants. That closes on 9/7. Information collection, NRC Form 64, travel voucher, Part 1. NRC Form 64A, travel voucher, Part 2. NRC Form 64B, optional travel voucher, Part 2. That closes on 9/13. Information collection, NRC Form 241, report of proposed activities in non-agreement states, areas of exclusive federal jurisdiction or offshore waters. That closes 9/15. That looks pretty interesting. Let's see, 9/21, information collection, comprehensive decommissioning program, including annual data collection. So we are in what? This is information collection stuff. So that's what this is all about. These close 9/25, information collection, 10 CFR Part 36, license and radiation safety requirements for irradiators. Information collection, 10 CFR Part 61, licensing requirements for land disposal of radioactive waste, 9/27. That looks pretty interesting too, doesn't it? Information collection, voluntary reporting of performance indicators, that closes on 10/10. Information collection, 10 CFR Part 100, reactor site criteria. Information collection, NRC Form 483, registration certificate, in vitro testing with byproduct material under general license. That's weird. Okay, let's see. Other documents for comment. High energy arcing faults. What the heck is that? That closed 9/1. So that public comment is done. But let me just open that up in a new tab and take a look and see what that one says. You know, the other one I really did want to read was comprehensive decommissioning program, irradiators requirement for land disposal, licensing requirement for land disposal of radioactive waste. Let's take a look at that one. That closes 9/27. So we still have time on that one. We don't have time on the other one. Draft test plan, high energy arcing faults phase 2, request for comment and draft. So are they going to tell us more about this docket detail, what it says? This is a thing you have to like go through a whole can of worms on all of this. So see if we can get some of this proposed regulation and get what it says. What the notice says. Okay, let's see what this says. Draft plan. Comments are not being accepted right now. The date. It does not tell us anything. Draft plan. Request for comments. So no. That's not available right now. Well, let's move on, folks. I strongly suggest that you come here to the United States. It's www.nrc.gov/public involvement. You go into public meetings and involvement, and you can click on documents for comment. take a look and poke around in here, because that is where we get to actually engage and really make a difference. I think that they are, if enough people get actively engaged, they might actually slow the train down on setting out the wrecking ball crew for us all here. Because we are, as they say, super screwed. We're completely done. So I was looking up to see what type of nuclear explosions we had. And there was a story from November of 2016 about the Arkansas nuclear power plant that had an explosion that really went unreported. And this is, in fact, what happens in lots of places. And as people get sick, I was thinking about this because in Texas, there is these big stories now that, you know, all of these fuse wrap sites that were flooded, people are going to start getting sick. And they have actually begun to push back the EPA. And they're saying that it's way overblown because they definitely do not want to give anybody any options for saying that they got sick because of it. So they're saying that it's way overblown, that everything was fine. The fuse wrap sites were fine. There's no problem. Yeah, well, I'm not so sure about that, you know. I mean, we are, the news on the nuclear front, this is the interesting thing. The news on the nuclear front is all about the North Korean nuclear, the threat from North Korea because of that hydrogen bomb that they reportedly blew up underground and created a big mega earthquake, which they say is large enough to sit on, you know, small enough to put on one of their intercontinental ballistic missiles that's headed our way. So it's, you know, we've got some big challenges ahead. I mean, the complete push for nuclear power is going to be a lot bigger because they can't really define the harm that it causes because we don't see it. It's actually one of the worst things that we've ever done. And I've had a conversation that I'm going to be doing a pre-recorded interview with another host that used to be on this radio station, Chuck Ocelli. We talked about, the implications of misogyny, the secrecy. This whole secret society that started after World War II when they started developing the bomb, it actually has bled into a lot. They've really been able to manipulate it and harm every aspect of our culture and of our people in ways that we don't even know. Out of Poison Power, The Case Against Nuclear Power Plants Before and After 3 Mile Island by John Goffman and Arthur Tamplin. There's a small, in the middle of the book, a small thing that says cancer plus leukemia. He says, 10% increase in the annual cancer plus leukemia death rate. One extra cancer for every 10 occurring now in the entire U.S. for 200 million people. That would mean 32,000 extra cancers plus leukemia deaths every year. That is on the average. That's the allowable rate. This is the public losses. This is what they're saying. It's allowed to proceed under the current allowable exposure standards, an average of 0.17 rad per year. For 200 million people, it gives us 32,000 extra cancer rates. So it's 200 million. The genetic diseases, 5% to 50% increase in the rate of genetic changes. For 200 million people, this ultimately means 100,000 to a million extra deaths per year from varying genetic diseases, particularly heart attacks. If our population should grow immediately to 300 million people, the genetic death toll would be 150 to 1.5 million per year, not counting a 5% to 50% increase in the incidence of socially crippling diseases such as diabetes, schizophrenia, and rheumatoid arthritis, which are the three of the most common things that we hear about in our society today. Contemplate a 50% increase in the major mental disease schizophrenia. And actually, we have actually seen that. And this is partly why, you know, things are falling apart because we have been exposed to radioactivity now for far, far, far too long. I mean, we have not had an option of managing this stuff reasonably. We have just had, the only option we've had is you're on a need-to-know basis and you don't need to know, and don't tell us that you're getting sick and don't tell us that you're ill. Tomorrow I'll be interviewing Erica Dugan again from Oklahoma, whose family was affected by fracking. And when she goes to the doctors are literally hostile to her and her family if she even mentions that any of their disabilities and ailments are caused by exposure to the chemicals in their environment. That's their doctors. Now, you'd think that the doctors would advocate for the populace, but no. That's why I have this protest sign that says, when scientists lie, people die. Because that's exactly what happens, and people are dying. On chapter 13, the ultimate issue, conversion or ecocide. Whether the issue be consumer products, adulterated, falsely labeled, or unlabeled, with respect to the potential of known or unknown toxic materials or major technological projects spewing long persistent toxin pollutants into the environment, the ultimate issues are a livable environment, good health, and a decent quality of life. That a considerable segment of our industrial manufacturing technological activities is seriously uncoupled from these goals is a truism. Many are hopeful that by pleading, by exposure, by legal harassment, by public education, by dedication in the public interest, we shall be able to turn all of this around and thereby have technology finally begin to serve the societal needs and goals. But we might, through focus on details of the injustices and reprisals, indeed win important battles, but lose the war to prevent ecocide. Is there some central theme that underlies all these problem areas with the features that militate strongly against local isolated solutions? We know the short-sighted parochial view of our economics, which fails totally to consider the health costs to society and the environment's deterioration. We know the futility to date of the efforts to alleviate these burdens upon our health and future through governmental regulatory bodies. At best, this has produced no relief and not likely to do so. We know that the technologists or scientists who speaks out from an industrial or governmental position will certainly meet reprisals, censorship, and most likely unemployment. Why don't we face the real root of our problems and ask ourselves whether a realistic, non-utopian solution is possible? Our society is based upon the premise that initiative, innovation, and promotion, all leading to economic profit, will by their very nature ensure the delivery of goods and services that will steadily upgrade the quality of life for the greatest number. The present environmental crisis clearly indicates that such a desirable result is anything but automatic. The threats posed by food adulteration, poisonous chemicals of agriculture and commerce, and radioactivity may by synergistic activity guarantee ecocide with little or no opportunity to understand the hazard or to take remedial measures. Indeed, a quest for remedial measures for specific abuses may divert us from effective, broad action. Wow. I'm going to read that sentence again. Indeed, a quest for remedial measures for specific abuses may divert us from effective, broad action. We do not think it is particularly meritorious to question the promotional or profit incentive. They are deeply ingrained, powerful human motivations. Moreover, it appears that societies have ostensibly eschewed the profit Moreover, it appears that societies which have ostensibly eschewed the profit motive, seem as capable of misdirecting technology as we are. And it may well be that desirable innovation should be abundantly encouraged. There is no doubt that skill and inventiveness should enable technology to operate on society's behalf and to provide many desirable and essential innovations, especially until a rational solution to our population problem is found, some time off at best. And when was this book written, Poison Power? I think it was written in the late 80s. Let me look at the very front. Copyright 1971, and it was revised in 79. So that is very interesting. No fundamental laws exist, so far as we know, which dictate that a profit-oriented society must necessarily engage in anti-societal, eco-destructive purposes. No fundamental law says it's impossible to make money doing worthwhile things. We may well exhort industry and technology to develop a sense of public interest responsibility, even to pinpoint the fact that a parochial view of their interests will destroy them along with the rest of society. Such exhortations are justified, carrying a real ring of morality, and are by no means scaremongering or doomsday prophecies. It seems to us that they will fail, however, because they don't address the real problem. It is one thing to point out wrong directions, quite another to provide a realistic framework for effective solutions. To come up with such solutions, we must understand some powerful factors which characterize innovative, profit-oriented enterprise. The first is the investment of capital by the entrepreneur-innovator. Today, innovation and technology are very big business. Most endeavors of any consequence encompassing in a short while the effort to distribute goods and services of a particular technology to 200 people nationally, and even to larger numbers when foreign outlets are considered. Two efforts operate here. The subconscious desire to look the other way for an innovation that holds promise of real utility and profitability, and the widespread delusion that science and technology will provide a fix for any hazard of the enterprise. And the investment of a career by a large body of scientists and technologists who prepare themselves at great cost for this particular enterprise. If the technology has persisted for any length of time, such as men have achieved position, prestige, and higher personal economic stake in the future of the technology. Case in point, the nuclear energy industry, you guys. And the investment of ego and prestige by the elite who have thoroughly committed themselves to the glowing promises of technology in full public view. Again, the longer the enterprise has persisted before adverse features become evident, the greater the ego prestige commitment of such elite, and the more difficult it is for such elite to reverse their positions. And isn't that where we are right now? I'm going to read the next paragraph. I think we have some time. In nuclear energy, can any fail to understand the difficult position of Chairman Glenn Seaborg, who was the chairman of the NRC at the time, or the AEC, who has admitted his position as prime salesman for nuclear electricity generation? From a myriad of platforms and in countless printed statements, he has said that the atom came to us in the nick of time. Is anyone so naive as to fail to understand why Dr. Seaborg is having a difficulty facing the realization that the hazard of ionizing radiation is far greater, 20 to 30 times greater than was thought a decade ago? Or to fail to understand why Dr. Seaborg dodges the question of the likelihood of a catastrophic event at a nuclear power plant? Or fail to understand why Congressman Chet Holyfield, having pushed appropriations of billions for nuclear energy development through Congress, clings to the concept of a safe amount of radiation exposure, a concept rejected by a whole series of distinguished scientists as well as the scientific bodies involved in the study of radiation hazards? It should be unrealistic for any of us to hope that dangerously misguided technological industrial endeavors will come to an end through economic suicide of a capital investment entrepreneur, career and job suicide of the technologists and workers, ego and pride, prestige suicide by leaders, promoters, and apologists for the enterprise. He's calling it suicide. I guess that is suicide if you actually call for the shutdown of the very industry that you're working in. To argue that a higher morality should guide all these men with their varied vested interest is simply to produce a totally unreal and unuseful image of men. It is obvious that the long-range eco-side will necessarily win out over the short-range parochial economic suicide, career suicide, or ego prestige suicide. And morality won't even be visible, won't even visibly enter into the consideration, for the mechanisms of rationalization will surface in abundance to protect against even the most obvious indefensible positions. And that comes from Poison Power, from Dr. John Goffman and Arthur Tamplin. We have about 10 minutes left, and I don't think I'll continue reading, but this book was written in 1971, and everything that he says in this book could still be true today, including a congressperson who is pushing through legislation that has very long-term negative effects, like Congressperson Shimkus, who wrote, he actually did not write this. It's pretty obvious if you take a look at the legislation 3053, which I suggest that you do, Google it, HR 3053, Nuclear Waste Policy Amendment Act of 2017. Take a gander at it and look at it. There's no way a congressman wrote that. It was written for him by the nuclear industry. No doubt he got it through Alec. I bet you if I did some hardcore research on this, I'd find out who actually wrote that legislation. So I'm going to actually pull that page up. And I know I'm a broken record on this, but this is super important. This Nuclear Waste Policy Amendment Act of 2017 will not make us safe. It's actually going to cause catastrophe if we as Americans ignore this and allow them. In fact, even Congressman Lacey Clay, who is the congressman for St. Louis, where the Westlake landfill is, he is a co-signer on this. And it is proposed to be a cost-saving measure, something like $9 billion. Yeah, it'll be a cost-saving measure in the first year. But wait till we start seeing dirty bombs around the world. How much money is that going to cost us? That is just completely outrageous. It's an unbelievable, outrageous bit of event. I strongly suggest that our listeners go to sanonofresafety.org. That's sanonofresafety.org. And remember to put the www in front of it. Donna Gilmore has all kinds of pages and drop down. And it's very interesting because she has the information that we can arm ourselves with so that we can talk to them about it. And this page is not found. I wanted to go to the hearings. She has a meeting that says House Energy and Commerce Hearing Meetings. But the page is not found, so that means it is probably going to the floor, HR 3053. So it is really up to us to contact our elected officials. Even if we know that they are co-sponsors of this bill, I think it's even more imperative that we contact them and tell them to stop being co-sponsors of the bill, because that's the only way that we're going to let them know that we don't agree with them is by giving them a call. If we stay silent and don't even bother to make one phone call, they won't know that we object. And they won't even realize what they're doing to us. Those of us that are listening to this radio station and to this show understand that we have more information on a regular basis than most people around America. Most people don't even really pay attention to this. Just by listening to the show, something's going to fill in your brain. So, and in fact, this is how it happened. they are using our Constitution, that the Constitution gets to deny people's inalienable rights, corporate Fifth Amendment takings and the denial of people's inalienable rights. I think on the next time I have a show where I'm just talking, I'm going to be going through this book that I got at Democracy School at the beginning of summer, because part of the reason why we can't stop them in St. Louis, why we can't stop them in Hanford, really the reason we can't stop them at any of these nuclear sites is because we don't have community rights. We don't have a right to tell them. The people near Diablo Canyon do not have a right to tell them that they can't dump their radioactive waste into the bay and into the Pacific Ocean, which is what they've been doing for a long time. I mean, it is, I guess these are secrets that are out in the open, because it's not like they're hiding it from us. We know that they're dumping their radioactive, their tritiated, it's basically what they're doing is dumping tritiated water into the outlets at Diablo Canyon and frankly at every single nuclear power plant. And there's some articles now coming out about how we can get rid of everything, but we can't get rid of tritiated water, which is why they've never told us, because, you know, the idea is that tritium is so small, it's so little, it's not going to harm anybody. And the fact that we are all relatively healthy, we can, you know, their idea is that it doesn't matter if we get sick because we have modern medicine to help us stay well. What about the idea that we have a right to a healthy life without medical intervention? Oh, my goodness gracious. When I pull up a quick Google search on the nuclear stories, it's all about North Korea. Are they telling us that we're definitely going to war? It sure does sound like it. North Korea mountain uses a nuclear test site at risk of collapsing, Chinese scientists say. Nuclear crisis, Putin warns of planetary catastrophe. Putin, whoever in the world thought that we could make Vladimir Putin look like a hero, look like he's a nice guy compared to what has happened? It's really stunning. And Vladimir Putin, who is the strong man of Russia, is considered a reasonable politician. North Korea warns of more gift packages after nuclear bomb test. That's from the New York Post. How does North Korea's latest nuclear breakthrough affect U.S. options? Man, Nikki Haley to UN on North Korea's nuclear program. Enough is enough. North Korea nuclear crisis. U.S. seeks tough U.N. approach. My goodness. This is what earthquake scientists can tell us about North Korea's nuclear test. North Korea's nuclear bomb. Can we work out its power? All of that is coming just on one quick scan through the Googles. So what do we think? September 11th? They seem to like September 11th, or is that going to be the day they're going to direct Irma into the Gulf Coast and just say bye-bye to everybody in the Gulf Coast? Well, for goodness sakes, we have about 20 seconds left. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. I want to thank our affiliates at kepw.org. Put your courage feet on. Take some action, you guys. It really does matter that we take action. That's what democracy is about, all of us engaging. So we will talk with you tomorrow, and put your courage feet on.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and I am the host.